Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello. Allsrevone.
Nice.
Nailed it.
Nice.
Killing it.
Yeah. My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers.
The hottest movie about talking toys out right now.
Out right now in 1998.
In a secret lab, the world's most advanced military microprocessor has been created. But the Cold War is over. For global tech to survive, new markets must be found. Now, all that power has been placed into the brain of a fighting machine unlike any known to man. They made it strong. They made it clever. They made it small. They made a mistake.
Yeah, if people don't know already, we have a Patreon tier where people can request that we watch a movie, a specific movie, and then we'll have to do what we just watch for it.
Yeah.
In this case, we were given like a series of a list of movies to choose from. Mm-hmm. This is from Patreon, Nolan Matten.
Is this being released publicly?
Yeah. Oh, they're all right, being cool. Released publicly. They don't have a choice about that.
Oh, they don't have a choice. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they just get... the only options I give them is what movie should we do, and do we want... Is it okay if we say who you are? Which Nolan said yes, so...
Okay, so this is distinct from the other tier.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. You should know this.
I should know this stuff.
Anyway, he gave us a list, and on the list was like... There was some good ones.
Flubber was
on it. Escape from L.A. Ghosts of Mars. There's a few here that's like people might be angry that we didn't do, but I think we landed on Small Soldiers. At least personally, I thought, okay, well, Toy Story's coming out soon, so that's fun. But also, like, this was the movie. This and Flubber were the movies I hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent, like, I probably only saw this movie as a kid. So,
yes, I saw this movie when it came out in theaters in 1998 and never again.
Yes. So it felt like we're watching this for the first time for me. So I guess, Tom, how did you like Small Soldiers?
It has great effects. You can tell, and Joe Dante has talked about this in no uncertain terms. You can tell that bigger studio hands swept in and sort of took his teeth out.
Right. It was supposed to be, I looked this up too, it was supposed to be for older audiences.
It was supposed to be for teenagers, yeah.
And then the studio like got cold feet or something.
Well, they saw the potential in marketing the toys of these killer toys.
Which, as you all know, these toys were huge.
Yeah, sold like hotcakes.
Yeah, thanks to the studio.
So they defanged Joe Dante somewhat, and then he doesn't, like, this movie doesn't have a body count, which is very unusual for Joe Dante.
That's true. It doesn't. There's still elements of violence in it.
For sure.
But you can tell.
It's very toned down.
Yeah, I think what happened, because I think they were, like, shooting the movie when the studio made this decision.
Yep.
So you can still get that tone, but it's, yeah. It's I don't know how well this movie did, but I haven't thought about this movie in years. This was the main problem with this film.
It shifts dramatically back and forth between being very goofy and kid friendly and to being gremlins.
Yeah, for sure. My first thought on this was that if you were to give me the cast list.
Mm-hmm.
I would not believe that this was a movie.
No, the cast list of this movie is madness.
Yeah, I mean, the movie opens with a scene between Dennis Leary, David Cross, and Jay Mohr. And And what's insane about
it's
that so, is none of them
the
are
most
that
1990. Yeah, it's most 1998 shit ever.
None
Go
of
ahead.
Them are that funny in the scene. Like, it's not a funny scene.
No, they're not playing funny. Like, yeah. Dennis Leary is, he goes on a Dennis Leary riff.
He does. I loved it.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not playing funny. He's playing
a
intimidating.
Rich jerk. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Sherry O'Terry's in there.
Yeah, Sherry O'Terry randomly
like,
shows
half the
up.
The cast of SNL is in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Jay Moore plays a guy who steals somebody else's idea. Big stretch for him.
Yep. And then along with that, we have Kirsten Dunst. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the cast, most of these are voice, actually, is Christina Ricci, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Harry Shearer, Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, George Kennedy, and Bruce Dern. Oh, and fucking Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Brown, Frank Langella.
Yes. Holy shit. This
we said George Kennedy, right? Did we say Ernest Borgnine? Because Ernest Borgnine is fucking in this movie.
Who is he in this?
He's one of the soldiers.
That's not who I would have gotten to do a soldier voice.
Well,
but sure.
Because the gimmick was is they got a bunch of the guys from the Dirty Dozen to do voices for the soldiers.
And
but apparently... go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can tell, you know, it's voice acting, so it's one of those things where they show up for an afternoon because they don't talk much, the toys.
Tommy Lee Jones and Bruce Dern have the most lines of the soldiers.
Right.
But like Jim Brown, I think, says five things, so he was probably there for an hour.
Yeah.
George Kennedy has like one scene where he tries to latch onto the kid's bicycle and then he gets ripped apart.
Yeah, sure does.
But like, yeah, it's mostly Tommy Lee Jones and Frank Langella.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the cast of Spinal Tap makes up.
Yes. What the fuck is happening?
I don't know.
All right. So for people who have no idea what this movie is, we might.
Which I assume is a lot of you.
Yeah. This is kind of the Chucky reboot, the new one. It's just a company like a big like weapons manufacturing style company buys a toy company and they fire everybody but these two guys, and the two guys have to like come up with the next big toy, and they come up and with Dennis Leary. That's the first scene, is Dennis Leary is like, we need this, you know, we need the new hot thing. It needs to be like he hates all the how toys usually are. That's his rant, right? His rant is like,
right,
I'm sick of all these ads that say like batteries not included and blah blah blah. And he goes,
well, it gets like a funny riff of like, I forget what it's like, some monster truck driving to the top of like Roosevelt's head on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
He's referencing like commercials that were out in this time that no one's gonna know about.
They show toys doing incredible things they can't actually do.
So that's
like the impetus of this whole thing is like an out of touch guy looking at this commercial that these guys have made for their toys to try and save their job, where it's like this toy like very dynamically punches his way out of his own packaging and like is interacting, and he's like, hold on, can these toys really do that? It's like such a thing that an old man would say.
Right.
It's like, I'm sick of these commercials showing toys doing things I can't do. I want a toy that can do that.
Yeah.
So the entire movie is based on that.
Yeah, which in a way, I the kid in me was like, yeah, Dennis Leary.
I would buy that toy.
Well, because then the biggest thing, he's like, I want these equipped with our like special state-of-the-art batteries that never die.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a reason toy companies don't do that.
Right.
And so like for the 90s, like that's progressive. That's like, damn, like you're changing the industry right now.
I'd also be a little bit concerned about having a power cell like that in my house. But.
Yes. Well, okay, that's the first part of this movie, is then they show them getting made. They predict 3D printing. Because they get 3D printed, and basically JMR, like, he puts a state-of-the-art like weapons manufacturing missile.
He puts a military microprocessor.
Yeah,
in them.
And he sticks that in without looking into it. And all what we do know, just from what happens, is they never tested these products.
Nope.
They just threw them out there without testing them. They built little robots. With microprocessors, and
there's
they
a lot of there's a lot of calamity here. It's because they do say it's like, I want these to, like, you know, David Cross's role in this movie is to just be like the soft guy who just objects to everything.
Right, he's the nerdy
he's the nerd that like designed the Gorgons, who are the peaceful aliens, and Dennis Leary's like, nah, these guys are the monsters, make them the enemies.
Right.
And he's like, I want these in production in 3 months, and David Cross is like, that's not enough time. Like, you gotta, like, test him and shit like that. He's like, I don't care. Get him out on the street.
Yeah, this whole, the dynamic of this meeting is very simple. It's Dennis Leary walking in being like, oh, I'm a big guy, I want this. And David Cross being like, but you can't do that, sir. And then J-Mar being like, oh, I'm the slick guy who cares about my job. I'm going to say yes to everything. It's right, basically that dynamic done by really good comedians. But like, yeah. Well, mostly really good comedians.
By two really good comedians and one comedian who really excels at just...
Being a scumbag. Yeah. Which, you know, he's good. Yeah. It's good casting. They knew what they...
You play to your strengths. I mean, it's Jay Moore. If you've seen Jerry Maguire, in real life, he is just Bob Sugar.
Yeah.
So,
Moore as himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the premise. Is it's these soldiers go nuts, the little toy soldiers.
And yeah, they execute their programming to a psychotic and lethal degree.
Yep. Which, again, they should have just tested it. They would have figured this out.
Yeah.
Like, literally just turning one of them on before you package them.
They didn't even turn it on. They put them on the shelf next to each other. And then Tommy Lee Jones is like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh yeah,
it goes instantly wrong.
Yeah, no. The only reason the world doesn't end in this movie is because this little kid, our hero, he's like a little bowl cut kid, one of them in the 90s.
No, he's got the 90s hair drapes.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's not a bowl cut. It's the Dawson's Creek hair drapes.
Right. He's just got that little 90s kid look.
Oh, yeah. He's so 90s. He had a Power Man 5000 poster in his room.
Yeah, he did.
And this is before Power Man 9000 was a thing.
Wow.
Either Joe Dante was a fan. I think there's a couple of bands in his room.
Set designer.
Or the set designer was a fan. Like, I think there's a band, I think Honky is another one that was in his room.
Huh.
These were unknown
bands
weird
shit.
At the time.
Kirsten yeah. Dunst, is it when he like calls Kirsten Dunst or she's in her room, she's listening to Rush.
She is.
Yeah, it's like that's not something a teenage girl does. But they also put a Led Zeppelin poster in the background, so she's like supposed to be like a cool teenager who listens to Rush.
There's literally a scene where Alan, the main character, looks at her and says, "You're not like other girls."
Yes.
Like, get the fuck. You don't know girls. That's why she's not like other girls.
Yeah.
Because you've never
line.
Talked to them before.
Yeah, so this is the romance. It's the little kid and Kirsten Dunst.
It's interesting. I want to point out that it's interesting that they don't... That line aside, they don't make the main character the typical, like, pining nerd or, like...
No, he's not a creep. He's, like, kind of cool. He's an outcast.
Right. Like, he's been, like, expelled from a couple of schools. He's, like, this put upon troubled kid. It's
yeah, like
unusual for a lead character in a movie of this type.
He's got pretty good game. Like he's not too much of a creep from what I remember, but he does like try to ask her out and stuff. Like he's very direct and she's not hating it either. They seem to be on each other's level, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really just that line, you're not like
it's
other
just
girls.
That, yeah. It's just
is
that
one of those
line.
Lines where you're just like, oh Christ.
Like the rest of it is like surprisingly not like movies of this type, particularly in the era.
Yeah,
I was legitimately surprised watching. Like, oh, they're not making him like, oh, the nice guy that always finished last. Like, no, he's kind of like the dangerous fuck up kid. And like, yeah, you're right. When he does ask her out, it's not like he's fumbling for words. He's very direct and confident about it.
Yeah, and and they just, I don't know, they play off each other pretty well.
Yeah, they're not bad together.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the first thing is how the soldiers come to be is that this kid is, I guess, running a toy store. He has bad parents.
Yeah, he's minding the toy store while his dad, Kevin Dunn, who will many years later go on to be assaulted by a whole different type of toy.
Yes.
And the Transformers series.
Right, Kevin Dunn in this. Jesus. Of course he's in this. They
of
needed a
he
dad.
Is.
They needed a dad.
He is generic dad.
Yeah. Like, he really is. But this is, I mean, he lets the kid close up his toy store for him.
Yeah.
And like
That's not that unusual for families that own a business.
Yeah. I guess my dad owned a store growing up, but it was like an art gallery and framing shop. So you couldn't just put like a spunky kid to run it.
Right.
I'm sure I was left. Yeah. I'm. Now that I think of it, though, I'm sure I was left alone in that store at some point for a period of hours. So yeah, I guess the kid's old enough.
Yeah, he's like 14 or 15, I think.
Yeah. I just wouldn't want a kid doing business for me.
Well, I mean, it's not.
I'd hire someone, you know. But the toy store's not doing great.
You don't have to pay your son.
That's true. Free child labor. That's the beauty of having kids.
Free child labor. All he's got to do is run a register. It's not hard. It's not a gallery and framing shop, Dave.
That's true.
He's just got to ring up some toys.
They are a renewable resource, children.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can get free energy out of them. Like, if you have them push, like, a thing, a wheel or something.
Right, yes. Yeah.
That's
turn like the grain.
Those Snowpiercer fellows, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and if that one collapses, just make another one.
Mm-hmm. They're renewable.
Yeah, it's like the Matrix.
Yeah. So the reason that the world didn't end, that's what I was starting on before, was that the kid pays a guy, truck driver. Who I recognize? Who was that guy?
It's Dick Miller.
Dick Miller
from Gremlins. He's Mr. Futterman from Gremlins.
Oh shit, he is.
Yeah.
He basically doesn't pay him. He just sort of like asks him to give him some of the toys, and he's just like, sure. And
he really does like they make a good scene out of it, but it really like I did leave that scene being like, why is he so like, because it's clear they have like a friendly relationship. He's a guy that drives a delivery truck from the toy company, and,
right.
and the kid notices these cool new toys in there, and he's like, could you have some of these like fall off the truck?
Yeah,
and I'll try and sell them, and even if I can't sell them, I'll pay you for them. And like he's like, all right, but like you gotta pay me because I can lose my job. Like, why is he like risking his job for this kid?
Well, I think he wants to help save, because the idea is the toy store is like traditional old toys, and this kid's like, we gotta help. Like, I have to save my father from himself and fucking sell something that people like. There's a line in there I really like where the truck driver says, hey, I don't like your tone. It's too loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he asks him about, come on. And you say, what have you been driving? Hasn't anything ever fallen off the truck? And he's like, hey.
Yeah.
Not so loud.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, Dick Miller also has like a very, there's some weirdly prescient things in this movie. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, yeah, pretty soon everything's just going to be owned by one giant corporation. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, this movie calls a lot of things, which is kind of a bummer. That's the only reason the world doesn't end, because he gets these toys early and they start attacking each other. Had this truck driver not been so easily swayed by a child, these toys would have just killed everything, because they would have rolled them out at once and they would have just been bursting out of these superstores.
And just, building instruments of war out of like skateboards and woodworking tools.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing is that they're programmed specifically to kill the Gorgons.
Yes.
Which I mean, quickly escalates into let's murder both of these families.
Well, that's the thing, is anybody like harboring a Gorgon is also an enemy.
Yeah.
And the things go very wrong.
Fascist dolls.
Yes. They're fascist dolls. I wanted to bring that up. Did you notice, they break out at night, Tommy Lee Jones and his soldiers, and he does the classic speech in front of the American flag.
Yeah.
But it's
misquotes all the lines.
Yes, but it's American flag puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that if you looked at the individual pieces, the lines form swastikas?
No.
So I wonder if that was an intentional, because they are like fascists.
They are, yeah.
And I wonder if that was like a biting political commentary hidden within small soldiers.
Maybe.
It's lines of swastikas over the American flag. Either that or they just didn't think about it. But that's the thing, is the puzzle pieces are all the same. So it's clearly not like a real puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates swastikas. So
maybe.
There's that. Joe Dante, man.
That might be the kind of shit Joe Dante would sneak in there, and like DreamWorks wouldn't notice it.
Yeah, exactly. this was mostly CGI, right? They intended it to be puppets and animatronic. And then there's an interview with Joe Dante, and he was just like, as we kept going, it was just so much easier to do CGI. So it's like a third animatronics, and the rest is CG.
There's still a real good amount of animatronics that are done by Stan Winston, and they look great.
Yeah, they look great. I would argue that the CG looks good.
The CG looks okay.
But it doesn't need to do much, you know?
Right, and it doesn't need to look real because they're toys.
Right, but the light, like specifically the lighting, was very well done for CG. It never took me out of the movie.
Yeah.
They're limited by the CG of the time, but it felt like the best CGI that the 90s could offer in terms
possibly.
Of realism.
Well, I think you'd probably look at like Jurassic Park for that, but...
Well, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, it's pretty... Like, the effects are pretty good in this movie, and most of Archer, who is the head Gorgon, voiced by Frank Langella, is an animatronic, like, most of the time you see him, and he looks fucking great.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah, the effects in this movie are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really... I think the problem...
The problem's
that we'll,
the tone.
Is the tone. It's that there's adult elements sort of mixed in, and it's kind of all over the place. There's a point in this movie when they start fighting near the end that I just got bored.
Kind of
the third act.
The end of it's kind of sweet.
Oh, well,
when everything's exploding and the soldiers are like have their contraptions and they're just like.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I also like the ending. Spoilers for Small Soldiers, where the corporation shows up, and
that's
a
very funny scene.
Yeah, what I love about it is that a movie like this, if it was made today, they would be some like Need for Justice. Instead, the corporation shows up and just bribes them all, and they all accept the bribe one by one, and they're just like, "Oh, this is great."
It's a single shot.
Yeah, it is. It is a oneer. And it's just like, it's great because it's like good for them. They got paid.
it's such a good, everybody does this. It's neat to watch because in sequence, it's Dick Miller, Phil Hartman, and Kevin Dunn all accepting this check from Dennis Leary. And every single one of them is very funny about it, but they all do it in a different way. Dick Miller's like, I don't know if I can move that truck. You know, I'm kind of my neck hurting, and I got a lot of duress. And he looks at the check, he's like, "Ooh, okay."
Right away, sir. Yeah.
And then Phil Hartman's like, "Now, what about me? What about the damage to my house and the duress and all my electrical equipment? Okay, thank you." He does it a very Phil Hartman way.
Yeah, exactly. And then Dunn is just like, "I don't think there's any amount of money that," and they give him, and he's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. Oh, that's a good amount.
Yeah, that's a good amount. Yeah. And that's what I like, that it's just like, and then they all got paid privately and won't talk about it again. And that's because part of me is like, because what's the harm in it? But then we find
then
out what's going to happen to the soldiers. This is so fucked up.
This is great. This is a perfect, this is a perfect Joe Dante thing to do.
Yeah.
Where it's, we find out that not only are Jay Moore and David Cross not fired, Dennis Leary's like, no, rebrand these to the military division. We're going to supply some rebels in South America with these toys.
Yes, which is
insane.
Because
they've created drones.
Yes, yes, but it's insane on a few levels because... Because one, like you said, there's a really good cynical message there, which is just like, oh yeah, no one's gonna be punished for this.
Nope.
There is no consequences.
Nope.
Two is, yeah, they're gonna use them for evil. But also, are they really? Is this seriously gonna be sending little toys like into battle? Because that's delightful and horrifying. Because they're basically little drones, but they can infiltrate like some like. You know, like some child, they're going to target like the children of terrorists or warlords. And then like the child will bring it into their home, and then the machine will come alive and like slit their throats in the night. Because that's the thing. They are drones, but they're drones that are capable of murder. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess drones are too.
Drones are too. But
infiltration,
these are like
quiet murder.
Yeah. And let's be honest, they're going to infiltrate the homes of, warlords or terrorist leaders, or just, you know, presidents, democratically elected presidents that are standing in the way of American imperialist interests.
Yep. Or just like civilians that they mistook for terrorists. Yeah, the point is that these things are going to be making certain parts of the world absolutely horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of when in Jurassic Park when they're always like, we can weaponize the raptors. And it's like, and do what with them? Exactly. Are you just going to let them loose? Like,
well,
I know they're trying to train them, I guess. But
well,
yeah,
I mean, that's like explicitly insane. The soldiers are at least mechanical drones with like a programmable software and a chip. Like the raptors is just like, you might as well just be letting werewolves loose.
Yes. They're just going to kill everything.
Right.
The small
They'll
soldiers.
They will inflict chaos and will be as controllable as raptors.
Yeah. And I guess, the soldiers are more just that they're as horrifying, where like they would become like a terrifying legend in any like area that they're deployed in, of just like, people would just start like sweeping their houses for toys and having to like get rid of and burn them all.
Yeah, just destroy every toy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real fucked up thing they stumbled upon.
They make drones out of Barbie dolls. Like, they take one old chip and, like, infuse intelligence into these other toys. So it's like you would just have to destroy every toy in a house.
Yeah, that's the other thing about this movie that they just sort of...
It's a real hand wave, yeah.
They hand wave is they've created sentient life.
Yeah.
Like, real goddamn sentient life. Yeah, the Barbie scene is... That was horrifying.
Right, and the boyfriend clearly was originally murdered there.
Yeah, because he just sort of vanishes, doesn't he?
He vanishes from the film, yeah.
I was wondering about that, because I was like, is he going to be a coward and run off or something and not save her? But then he tries to fight, and then I don't really remember what happens to him after that.
They set his leg on fire, and he falls down the stairs, and we never see him again.
Yep, he is a dead man.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a horrifying death, too. Those little hands, like, digging into his flesh and, you know, tearing him apart or whatever.
Yeah, I suspect there was originally more violence and more of a body count in this.
Right. That Barbie doll scene is kind of the closest we get to insanity. To, like, terrifying insanity. Because they're horrifying to look at.
I mean, terrifying insanity. The whole movie is insane.
Yes. But this is like, just so people understand, like, the Barbie dolls aren't just Barbie dolls. Their faces are melted from the process that made them, gave them life. So,
and
like,
they have,
there are
like
these
random nails sticking in them.
They're mostly
like
naked. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it's like the Sid sequence.
Right. Which I would argue this movie, the little boy in it, who at the end is like, for my birthday, I just want clothes. Because there's a little boy that's Kirsten Dunst's little brother. I would argue this is a Sid origin story. He's going to grow up to become Sid. And that's what what Sid is doing, is like kind of in his head remaking the trauma and then trying to, like, you know, free himself from it by exploding all the toys.
His parents would have to have another kid, though, because Sid has a little sister.
No, they could bang some more.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. Yeah,
they're not done. They're not done fucking yet.
Yeah, it makes the ending of Toy Story with Sid even worse.
Well, we see Sid has a whole arc. If you notice,
he does. Yeah, no,
he
becomes a garbage man.
He becomes a garbage man.
Yeah,
his life really took a direction.
I mean, garbage men make some good money. He's doing better than I assumed he would do.
That's true.
After what happens, like that is a decade of fucking therapy, more than a decade of therapy. Like, that is
an
insane thing.
He copes with it by tying toys to the front of his garbage truck.
Right. Like, he, once he got older, because how old was Sid? He was like a teenager, right?
Same age as Andy, I think.
Yeah, he would get to a point where he would convince himself that it never happened.
Yeah.
Like, I had that same, I think we covered it on an OCPD or something, where Pinocchio would grow up to have like vague memories of being a wooden puppet.
Of being a puppet and be like, that's not real. That was a dream I had.
Yeah, because Geppetto is old, so he's going to die quickly.
Yeah, Geppetto's going to be dead in like 6 years.
Yeah, and Pinocchio was only like, how much do you remember in the first couple years of your life? Like, Pinocchio's like a kid. So,
particularly after all that whale trauma, Geppetto's not hanging in there
longer. Like, they should do a Pinocchio sequel like Hook, where it's just he's forgotten, because why would he remember? Only it's like a horror movie or something where he has to Pinocchio doesn't know why every time he sees like a woodpecker he starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just doesn't know why he has those feelings in him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What, he just jerks it to photographs of trees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what puppets do.
just beats his dick raw.
Yep.
Looking at forestry brochures.
We haven't mentioned that the Barbies come to be because they want to fuck them. The yes. soldiers are like
they look at all the dolls in Kirsten Dunst's room, like some R&R, and they explicitly linger on a shot of the little bed in the yes. Barbie doll's house,
which is weird for a couple reasons.
Yeah,
one being that the Barbies at this point, they're just dolls, like they don't have dolls, life. Yeah. So like it'd be like fucking a mannequin, but just like fucking a mannequin where you're also a mannequin, and so there's nothing to like, you know, there's no genitals there.
No, they just be so, they just be crushing smooth pelvises together.
Yeah, so I just don't know what these.
I don't know. And also, did they program sexual desire into their software? Like, where does that come from?
I don't know. Where does any of this come from? They did some things. Basically, I think something happened in that lab where they combined the right amount of things, or in that chip, where it just sparked complete life.
Yeah, because, somebody bled into it.
Yeah. Because we haven't talked about the ending of the monsters. Where he just puts them on a boat.
Yep, and sails them out into a lake.
Only to be, like, immediately, like, killed by a cruise ship or something.
Well, yeah, something.
Yeah, but that's a psychotic thing to run into, is just a boat of sentient toys.
Boat full of toys.
Like, what is their adventure going to be?
I don't know.
It's real weird. Like, they're safer hanging out with him, but they're just like, we have to go find our own place, and it's like, what to do? What?
Yeah, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna build like a little village?
That's it. And they can't like procreate, I don't think.
No.
But when one of them dies, I guess they could do the brain thing and do what the Tommy Lee Jones did and put themselves into other toys or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild. Like,
yeah, it's insane.
They do the thing where he's he's looking on the internet. The toy.
He's looking on.
Well, the kid's
he's looking
sleeping.
On an Encarta.
Yes, and he hits like just like some nice area of the world, like Utah or something, and he's like, "That's our home." And so they just want to live in the forest. I don't know, hunting squirrels.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, yeah. What are they? Well, they don't need to eat.
That's true. For sport, then hunting squirrels for and wearing them as coats.
Mm-hmm. Making little outfits.
Yeah, so like people don't realize that what they are like.
Making tents out of stray and runaway cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This I don't know.
This is a good movie.
This is a crazy fucking movie. I mean, it's a Joe Dante movie. It's exactly as crazy as you'd imagine one to be.
Yeah, I just wish it had more of his, like, you know. Yeah, it's a tame Joe Dante movie, and I wish it had more of his, like, I don't know, sort of chaotic energy behind it. It's still there, but like they've taken all the darkness out of it.
Right, and that's why it failed.
That's the problem. Yeah,
you don't hire Joe Dante and then tell him to dial it back with the darkness.
Yeah.
That's just, it's an right. obvious mistake because right as it stands right now, it's just sort of a kid's movie
mm-hmm.
that's like, really like subtly disturbing. So like mm-hmm. if you brought a kid to this, like, I don't think they would like it.
No, there's not much to like.
No, it's just like, hey, kids, look, your toys will come alive and try to kill you.
Right.
They're going to tie like, you up.
Yeah. Like. They fucking stab the main kid like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Cut his hand with like a Dremel saw.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the leg with like some corn cob skewers. And then like it's Tommy Lee Jones at the end is just straight up stabbing him in the hands.
Right. Like, and this would have been perfect to aim at teenagers who like grew up on Toy Story. Because Toy Story was what? A couple years before this?
95, yeah.
95. So like, yeah, like this would have been perfect for that age. Mm-hmm. If it just had a little more of an edge to it, but it just
that was such a mistake because this could have been like a Gremlins, like,
yeah,
this could have been one of those weird fucking movies you saw as a kid and then look back 20 years later 21 years later now and been like, man, that movie was crazy, like, how did they make this movie for kids? Like, those movies are so cool when they happen, like
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's DreamWorks, so Spielberg was definitely involved. But like, I wonder what happened. Is it just getting old? Because like, when Spielberg produced Gremlins, like, he looked at Joe Dante, and, you know, Joe Dante had done The Howling before that, and he's like, okay, I want you to do Gremlins, and he didn't make him lose any of the edge on Gremlins.
Right. This was just an argument with Crystal Skull, which is that Crystal Skull feels like it pulls its punches a little bit.
Mm-hmm, because it does. And a little bit. There's still some intense shit in it.
But, like, I know Red Letter Media did a thing where they went through the kill counts, and Indiana Jones kills so many people in the first three. Mm-hmm. Like, it's usually up into the teens, and then this one, he kills one person in the Crystal Skull. So, like, it's a lot of indirect deaths or a lot of, like, cartoony faraway deaths. There's, like, a couple grisly moments. The ants.
Yeah. Yeah, the ants when Cate Blanchett, it burns alive from within.
Right. Like, I think what it is, it's not that he's intentionally pulling his punches. It's just that when you get older, yeah, violence affects you more.
That's true, yeah.
And so he's just not as, I don't know, he's probably not as creative in terms of violence as he got older. I don't know. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I mean, it hurt this film, and I don't know how much of that came from Spielberg. Like, from what I've read, it was just like, oh, they made a lot of marketing deals with this movie to sell toys and do, like, a Burger King kids meal tie-in, so it's like, it can't be violent or we'll lose these very lucrative licenses.
Right, which is an issue with this part of the 90s, I feel like. Like,
it's still kind of an issue, but definitely in this part, in the 90s, yeah.
Well, yeah, this was when we started making that realization, I think. Like you did a thing about Batman, where it's like after Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Which, again, was like mid-90s, maybe, and then Batman Forever is like, okay, we're trying to make something for kids now.
Yeah, McDonald's literally got script approval over Batman Forever.
Yeah, see?
Because they wanted to protect that license because they lost it for Batman Returns.
It makes sense because the progression that we think about where it's like E.T. with product placement.
E.T. was kind of accidental, but yeah.
It was accidental, but that was like people traditionally think of that as like, mm-hmm. that's when product placement started becoming a thing. Mm-hmm. And then it kept going, and slowly over that era, we realized like, oh, we can really stuff a movie with product placement. You know,
that's
you can
true,
make Mac
that,
and
that
me.
That would have been relevant for Gremlins, too. If that wasn't a thought on people's mind at the time. It was like, we need to tone this down so we can sell toys.
Right, and now it got slowly to a point where it's just like, it's all you think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising that... Yeah, it is a shame.
Movies have to be like entire enterprises instead of just little pieces of art or little stories. They have to be like, no, because this also has to employ people in merchandising and people in marketing, and we have to think about how we're going to package this in X, Y, and Z. And it's like, fuck, just make a movie, guys.
Yeah, like, don't think of, yeah, make a movie, and then if you can market it later, fucking do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't start with that.
You could market this movie. I don't know, it's
well,
weird
that, yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's that thing of just films want to be... it's also that trend of movies just wanting to be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like certain movies... I get the instinct with this because they probably looked at it and they're like, man, this is so close to being a kid's movie. That we could just make a few changes and make it a kid's movie. The problem is those few changes were like vital to what made the movie entertaining. At least I assume.
Yeah, I have to, because otherwise the tone is so conspicuously uneven.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is worth people revisiting or not. Like, if you saw this as a kid...
I think the effects are really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's some really fucked up details that are fun.
Yeah. Overall, it's kind of a boring movie.
Yeah. It's weird. I actually liked the stuff that kept my interest the most is like the non-soldier stuff, the kid in his shop and his family, and then like I guess the lead up into it. But once it all started, all the shit started happening. Once they were all fighting, I got bored.
Yeah, the soldiers themselves are kind of dull. Like I agree with you. I like all the stuff with the kid and his family and with Kirsten Dunst. And I like all the stuff between him and the Gorgons, because the Gorgons are largely animatronic in these sequences. Not completely, but there's some really cool miniature animatronic work in those sequences. And they look really good, and they're so detailed. It's like, wow, these are really... The effects are very good in this movie.
Yeah, they are.
So it runs into sort of like a Star Trek the motion picture problem where it's like, man, this is a gorgeous film that's boring as fuck. It's not quite that level because Star Trek the motion picture is one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life. And this is not that.
Yeah, it's also... I guess some of the, like, David Cross was definitely underused in this. They definitely, like, Dennis Leary and stuff.
He wasn't anybody back then.
Yeah, that's true. Because the other comedians, they knew, like, who they were enough to let them do their thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Jay Moore had made, like, Picture Perfect with Jennifer Aniston and Jerry Maguire already.
Oh, wow, this is post-Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm. David Cross, I think, like the year before, he had that slight cameo. Like David Cross is in cameo phase in this.
Yeah, was he in Men in Black
career
at this point?
Yeah, that was 97.
Okay, maybe Tommy Lee Jones was like, "Hey, I know a guy." Maybe they're big friends. Maybe they're really.
I know a
like,
guy, and I can sanction his buffoonery.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones. It was good casting for that.
Oh, he's perfect.
Yeah.
I wish we got more. The CGI is not bad, like you were saying. I wish we got. He is almost entirely CGI, his character.
Yes.
I wish we got more animatronic soldier stuff, but they have to do a little bit more in terms of dynamic movement, so I understand why they went full CGI with most of the soldier stuff.
Yeah, they were more complicated, for sure.
But that scene, I do love the sequence, where the chase sequence where they burst out of the garage in their little vehicles that they made.
Oh yeah,
and they're chasing Kirsten Dunst and the main kid on her moped.
Yeah,
and they built like actual miniature little vehicles, like that. Like that whole sequence is entirely practical, and it's so fucking crazy. Like they ride up on him with this chainsaw arm and try to like saw the moped apart.
They definitely got very creative in the weaponry.
Oh my god,
the miniature weaponry.
Yeah. There's some fun stuff in this. It's just, on the whole, I see why this movie has been lost to the sands of time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I get it.
It didn't go far enough, and so it's just kind of lame in a lot of spots where it should have a little more bite or impact, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if this ever could have been a classic.
I don't know. I think it could have.
But it definitely could have stood out a little more.
Right, because it's such a strange premise.
Right.
It really is. Like, I think we're taking for granted how odd the premise is just because we've had three Toy Story sequels since then. I think it could have occupied, like I said, I think it could have occupied a similar territory as Gremlins did for people of, like, our generation.
It could have been 90s Gremlins for sure.
Yeah, just like this crazy. It's like, oh, you remember that movie we watched as kids that was like kind of kid friendly on the exterior, but was just like a little too violent for kids?
Right, this would have been a good PG-13.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was PG-13.
Oh, it is?
It is, yeah.
Should have been, harder PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They get pretty antsy about kids in peril, so you can only stab a kid so many times before they're like, all right, that's a PG-13 for you.
Right. It's such a good way to attack anybody is these little hands. Like, it's a terrifying death being killed by little toys. And so, like, yeah, I can see, like, they could have done something really cool and horrifying with it. But, yeah, the people who are going to be around toys the most are children, so... It's you'd have to show a lot of children being murdered horribly by their toys. And that's one where it's like, I feel like even if it was aimed at teenagers, they would know that kids would watch it and like have horrible nightmares from it.
Yeah.
So I think, I see the corporate wanting to be safe with this, but if they wanted to actually make a movie that made money, this was not the way to do it.
No, this is so... They sanitized it so much that it's just not for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants this.
But I don't know. You said it was on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
So, if people are bored and they have Netflix, it's probably worth checking
Netflix
out. Yeah.
Gives a shit.
Yeah.
Just have it on in the background and look up every once in a while to appreciate the effects and some of the crazy things that still manage to find their way into the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the last film of Phil Hartman.
Aww.
Yep. He was murdered like 5 months before its release.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a weird dark layer to this.
So apparently they altered some things in the movie I'm not sure what.
Because
it's clear his character didn't originally die or anything, because they have all this footage. Like, they have that footage of him at
the end. Yeah, he's at the end.
Yeah. So, and obviously they wouldn't have had him around to do reshoots.
Right.
So I'm not sure what exactly they
changed. Yeah, maybe a few lines here and there that could have been insensitive or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. He does have the only two parts in the movie that I laughed out loud at, which is the thing that we talked about already, when he's
taking
marching up to Dennis Leary and then takes a check. He does it in a classic Phil Hartman way.
Yeah.
And then when he and his boozed out wife are watching their new TV, and he says, "I think World War II was my favorite war."
Oh yeah, that's a solid Phil Hartman line.
Oh shit.
That's a perfect, like, yeah, war,
yeah,
dad who's into war documentaries.
Yeah.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a solid Phil Hartman character. This is a territory he firmly occupied in his career.
Yeah, he went out on a good note.
Yeah.
With Small Soldiers.
Yeah.
He's untouchable in this film.
Oh yeah, you know? No, he's Yeah. He is unimpeachable in anything he's ever done, even in bad movies.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say about this. It's, you know.
Yeah, I think people listening to this will get a gist for, like, what a kind of batshit movie it is and whether or not they should see it. If you're interested in Joe Dante, obviously you should check it out. If you're a big Gremlins fan, like, if you're interested in that era, this is, like, a good, you know, artifact.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison to make between how this film was made in the mid-80s to how this film was made in the mid to late 90s.
For sure.
They're essentially trying to do the same thing, and it's so sanitized and over-glossed, like everything in the 90s was.
Right. It shows an evolution, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, shit.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, you guys, to this bonus episode.
This special extra episode about a movie about killer toys that came out 2 decades ago.
Right, and as we mentioned, this was made possible through our Patreon, which is patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You can go on there. There's other tiers besides this one. Mm-hmm. We have a tier for exclusive podcasts, like Fox Mulder is a Maniac and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. We have a tier where you can watch movies with us every Friday. We have a movie night. A lot of delightful stuff there.
Yeah.
So check it the hell out.
Check all that shit out.
Yeah. And I think we got one more. We got a mini series going. We got one more episode Saturday of The Adventures of Two Guys Watching The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., because this one guy made us.
Yep.
So see the thrilling conclusion of that.
Yeah. See it with your ears.
Mm-hmm. With your ears.
With your ears.
Well, no. I think people should always stare at their phone when they're listening. That's the full experience. That's the point of making
those
logos.
Total immersion.
Total immersion.